The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Good morning and welcome to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos. Good morning, Otto.
John, a pleasure being here.
It's always fun when you're here. And our first guest today is Adam Grohman. And Adam is the Associate Dean of Students and the Director of Veterans Affairs here at LIU Post. And we just started a conversation prior to going on the air, but it's so important. There's so many things out here for veterans, and some are neglected and some know where to go for things. And that's really what we want to talk to Adam about, just to give our audience some ideas, what they can look forward to, what they can get, but more importantly, the services here at plain LIU. Go ahead, Adam. Go ahead, Otto.
That would have been a good name, though.
yeah, exactly.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here on the show. My name is Adam Grohman, and I think one of the greatest things that LIU offers to our veteran population is the benefit of support. And I think that LIU is rich in military history and support of our veterans, born out of the post-World War II and Korea era under the leadership of Admiral Richard Connolly. LIU has consistently supported our veteran population as they've returned from their service to their nation and to their world. So I think one of the greatest things that we do offer here is a very intricate support network for our veteran students. And the other aspect that we also provide is some great a meeting point, if you will, for veterans, not just who are going to school, but also, you know, friends and family. And the one thing that I've noticed specifically as of late is that the younger veterans who have served in our most recent conflicts just have a really great yearning, if you will, to be helpful to the community. And that includes a lot of our veterans of previous conflicts.
Good, Adam.
Well, one of the things that always strikes me about veterans is the difficulty that they have when they first come back. And like just recently, I saw a show on PBS, Selfridge, a department store thing, and they were talking, they had World War I veterans that were going through this post-traumatic syndrome problem. Mm-hmm. Do you deal with that type of thing when people come to the school? Or try to help?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, every veteran is different, and everyone's experience in the military services, no matter what the branch, is also equally different. What we find is that most of the veterans who are checking in, if you will, to the university to continue their education have already kind of made it over that hurdle. Some veterans, their transition is very seamless and very easy. Other veterans will sometimes, bury those issues or concerns. Other veterans will be the person that they have it right in front. And what I've seen over the last, couple of years is that the veterans who are coming to school have already tackled that demon or that monster, if you will, and have pushed forward. I think that you have such a more prevalence of identifying and understanding of the post-traumatic stress disorder in today's veterans. But as you just pointed out with World War I veterans, this goes all the way back to probably, the first time there was battles between humankind. So, but I mean, over the years, I think that the nation has taken a more positive approach to addressing it. Whereas I think previous conflicts, World War I, even the American Civil War, they called it nostalgia when veterans were having issues with their battlefield experiences. Whereas, and over the time, it's kind of morphed. So, battlefield fatigue, for example, during World War I and World War II, we've put it out in the open. So I think that there's more of a prevalence of it in our society because we're willing to help our veterans get through it. So would I say that a lot of our students have that issue? No, I think a lot of our students have already made it across that hurdle, but it's still one of those things that, if not properly dealt with, can, come back up into their experience.
Right, and probably a percentage of the people who've had actual battlefield experience is probably a fairly low number considering how many people there are in the military.
You know, absolutely.
You're dealing with a small percentage, but a very difficult percentage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it is. And I think that the best way to kind of describe that is, you know, it's a lot of monotony, usually broken up by a few moments of sheer panic and craziness, you know. And I was not I'm not a battle, veteran myself. I did not have that experience. But I know that a lot of our veterans, you know, one of the guys that's in the office right now, for example, was a corpsman in the Marine Corps, corpsman in the Navy and attached to a Marine Corps unit overseas. And, you know, they don't come right out and talk about those experiences. But I know that he, you know, was there on the front lines getting shot at, IEDs. And it's amazing how that experience has helped shape this young man into who he is today. And he's been able to turn that into an experience where he wants to help other people. So I agree, though. I think that the percentage is low, but I think anyone's experience in the service changes them. And again, in a positive way.
Yeah, I'm a veteran myself, but fortunately, no battlefield experience. Yeah. But it did change me. I was 19 years old, went in the Navy 2 years. You know, you're living in a different world.
Absolutely.
Very different world. Yeah. And but it's great that the LIU has a program to help everybody. I looking online, you have all kinds of programs, and there are all kinds of programs available to people to come here, frankly, with pretty good finance backing.
Yes, LIU has really taken a very hands-on approach to our veteran population. Coupled with I think one of the greatest GI bills of all time, probably that rivals the Servicemen's Readjustment Act of the 1940s under FDR's leadership, the post 9/11 GI Bill really broke down barriers for students to be able to go to institutions of especially private institutions. Without having to worry about the idea of paying for the higher education. And LIU has just, spearheaded in so many ways such a comprehensive financial package that, you know, it's foolhardy not to take advantage of it. Any school can do that. What we've really focused our attention on is to make sure that once they're here, that we make sure that from, you know, before admission straight through to post-graduation, that they're supported. And that support is, you know, not just me by any stretch of the imagination. I'm kind of like the puppeteer. But, you know, I know that so many of our vets are successful here on campus because they have found a niche on the campus. We have our veteran suite. The guys and gals come in. They sit down. They talk. They already have a common bond based on that experience. Whether that experience was just boot camp and, you know, the other day they were telling sea stories and you were in the Navy, so you can appreciate that term. And they were just, we all kind of fell into this, you know, the sea stories of boot camp and the drill instructors and the yelling and the screaming and the running around like a crazy idiot. And we just all were laughing, but we all could share that common bond. And it was such an important thing. And you know what? It's those touch points for a veteran student that will make them say, you know what? I do want to go to school today. I do want to be successful. I do want to have a career. That, you know, a touch point in higher ed is such an important part for any student's success. And for a veteran, it's a little bit more difficult because they're usually older. They have other responsibilities and you know, outside the classroom. They sometimes are working full time. They may have a spouse or children. So they have to be in it to win it. And I think that what you see with veteran students is they have done the 19, 20-year-old thing. They have served their country. And for some of them, that was their life on pause. Whereas a lot of their brethren that didn't go into the service already got that leg up. And now it's time to make up for lost time. And I think that when they do that, they take their education that much more more importantly.
Well, definitely there's a little bit of a maturity that comes out of that experience. I can't guarantee you that it's always maturity, but, you know, because when you're that young, you still have a few things to learn. One of the things I think is the audience for our show is primarily seniors, we think.
Right.
You know, we don't really know, but that's what we hope. All right. So my point being that seniors out there should think about this maybe for grandchildren or friends, you know, not necessarily for themselves, but the family members who fall into that bracket.
Absolutely. And then the other thing that we do is, you know, because we've become a focal point within the community, we are constantly, you know, we also support not just our veteran students, but for example, I had an employee about a year and a half ago who came to me and said, Adam, I'm working with the VA. They've been very, very helpful, but some of this is just foreign to me. And she was trying to help out her father, who was a World War II vet. Absolutely. That's the, you know, we may not always have the right answers, but the one thing that we have been able to, you know, clarify and pull together is such a great wealth of information that we know all the contact points. So we have wonderful resources at the Northport Veterans Administration complex. We have, you know, contacts in in D.C. So we know all those people to kind of help tackle those problems. So the support that we provide is not just for our current quote-unquote veteran students, but their families, their friends, the friends that they have at the American Legion, the veterans of foreign wars, the other groups of veterans, you know, around the New York area, Nassau and Suffolk County. So that's the real, you know, the way I think we can probably touch your audience the best is that they really should never shy away from getting involved. And the one thing that I've seen with our veterans is they love to be helpful and they love to hear the experiences of their brother in arms or, you know, sisters in arms who served in prior conflicts. Because you know what? Again, no different than those sea stories about boot camp. I can guarantee you the boot camp was probably a lot harder during World War II than it was, you know, during my era, but it's still a common bond. And they still put their boots on, they still went and carried the rifle into combat or on patrol duty, whatever it may be. And that's an experience I think that our seniors can really enjoy, because I know that when I get older, that those are things that I would want to pass down to another generation. And, you know, that's something that we have to – that's our legacy.
Yeah, well, so. You mentioned the VA, and we talked offline earlier about the fact that the VA, I guess in some cases justified, but has taken a bad rap. And everything I hear on Long Island is that they do a very good job. And that the people who I know who've had dealings with the VA are very happy with how they handle it. Have you had similar feedback?
Yes. And again, we are not a direct agent of the VA. However, as you can imagine, anecdotally and through the experience of our students here at Long Island University, you know, the feedback that we've gotten is very, very positive and very, helpful. The VA is there because they really, truly want to help veterans as they, you know, at any point in their life. I think the biggest issue is that there's this mentality for many veterans that they, and it's noble, don't get me wrong, that I want those services for those who truly deserve it. And there's a mentality within the veteran community not to reach out and get the assistance that they have earned, you know, by wearing the uniform and serving their country honorably. So it's getting across that mentality of, oh, no, I think it should be for the, you know, I think of a hero, I think of American veteran, I think of the guys that I watched in parades when I was a little kid, the World War II veterans, the Korean veterans, the Vietnam veterans, they're heroes in my book. And when I know I don't even take advantage of all the benefits that I've earned as a veteran of the armed forces with the VA. And I think that if more veterans are willing to kind of take that deep breath and say, you know what, I have earned this. My family has earned this, because again, the benefits are not just for the veteran; they're really for the whole family, as a whole. I think that they can really learn from that, and it's only going to make the VA better. My experiences with the Veterans Administration have been fantastic, but like any governmental, you know, agency, they have their flaws. Find me an organization, you know, that doesn't have a flaw, and you know, call me a liar. But they're willing to address those bumps in the road and move forward. And I think that that's the most positive thing out of the VA as of late.
Just one thing that I would like to throw in here, which is a shame. Newspapers, reporters, etc. Not always, but sensationalism is the best thing to jump on. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, the person who waited an hour, the person who died. But if you really want to take it into consideration, all the members of the armed forces that have been helped through it,
yeah,
reading the paper and say, you know, you can go to a regular for-pay doctor. Yeah. And turn around, they make a mistake, you show up, you wait 3 hours, but you're not writing about them because you know HMO, that's what you're getting. You're getting online for 3 hours to wait for a doctor, even though you made an appointment for noon, you're going in at 2:30.
Well, I think it was William Randolph Hearst who said, you know, in 1898, you know, you give me the pictures, I'll give you the war. And I think that type of journalism is something that continues, you know, in our world. And that's not to be against journalism or the media, but it sells papers, you know, sensationalism sells. And, you know, nobody wants to hear about, you know, a regular car accident. They'd rather hear about a plane crash. And that's tragic. But unfortunately, I think the Romans had it right when they said, give the masses bread and circuses. So
now we're going to interrupt. We're going to give the masses a commercial. You're listening to 88.1 FM WCWP. We'll be right back after these messages.